This is the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 40 of Social Media Church. My name is DJ Chuang, your weekly host, and this is a special episode where I share with you the backstory, the making of the Social Media Church Podcast. I've just returned from 2 weeks of travel to 4 cities in 2 countries around the world, so I'm a bit disoriented from the jet lag and just the wear and tear of what travel does to a person. And I'm kind of getting up in age. I'm in my mid-40s and not as young as I used to be, but still love to connect with people through social media and in person, and got a lot of opportunity to do that on my travels. But still want to check in with you here at the Social Media Church and keep the conversation going. Thank you for the new listeners. Chime in with a few comments on Facebook and email. Good to hear from you, and glad that this podcast is a useful resource for you. And on this episode, I want to share with you the backstory of how this whole podcast came about, and share a bit of my thinking of why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it. One of the things you should know about me is I'm an innovator in the sense of being the idea person and trying new things before they actually exist. And so I love being on the inventive edge or the bleeding edge. And something that's really attractive to me is the idea of Skunk Works, or the idea that Google engineers get to spend about 20% of their time doing whatever it is that they want to do, kind of work on their personal project. And I just came across an article about LinkedIn and how 20% time to tinker has spread beyond Google. And from the article, it describes about LinkedIn that first Google offered workers 20% time in which to tinker. Then Apple reportedly followed with a similar program called Blue Sky. Now LinkedIn is quietly offering its own take on letting workers run wild with Incubator, a program that may well top what Google offers. Under Incubator, engineers can get 30 to 90 days away from their regular work to develop ideas of their own into products. Their ideas must first be developed into prototypes and clear 2 rounds of judging, with founder Reid Hoffman and CEO Jeff Weiner involved in the final round. Many ideas submitted to Incubator come from LinkedIn's monthly Hack Days, in which workers can win awards for small bits of quickly written software. Now, can you imagine what that would do in the church world if we had the freedom and the resources to allocate some of our time to experiment and try new ways of doing ministry, new ways of outreach, new ways of using social media in the church and outside of the church? That's what really excites me, and I have a knack for doing that. And this is part of in that spirit of things, that I don't need to wait for resources, but especially with social media and technology being developed to where it's accessible to anybody that has access to a computer, can be producing content and distributing it on the internet. Now, when it comes to podcasting, it's not quite as accessible to blogging as blogging. A homeless guy can log into the public library and blog, but with podcasting, you do need to have a little bit of equipment, and so you can't really talk and produce a podcast in the library using public equipment. So a little different there, but still the idea is, what can I do on no money, on no budget? And so this is a labor of love. This is to push the envelope and see how far it can go. And part of my motivation here is to serve the church at large, to lead by example and show what's possible on just sheer passion and a vision. And it doesn't take a lot of resources. And if you're able in your church context to tap into the passion that people have and just to give them a little bit to start, just to see a spark take off, can be amazing things. And so that's that was kind of what sparked my thinking in putting together a podcast. And one of the things I realized was essential is having a good microphone. So I do use a Blue Yeti microphone, which is a nice about $150 retail microphone that connects into a USB port on a computer. So I don't need to have a mixer or anything, but I do want to have a good microphone to capture the audio. And I was waiting, and you know, I was sitting on this microphone for a number of months, and things began to converge towards the summer of 2012. I started with a couple of test episodes, kind of using borrowing formats from other popular podcasts. I figure if it's one thing to learn in terms of web design and using social media is, well, what are the popular people doing? Maybe we can learn some things from them. And so I tried to put together some different segments, and it just became too time intensive. And I wanted to do something that was quick because this is a labor of love, and I do have to provide for myself through other means. And I don't want to be tied down with trying to make this into a self-sustaining, profitable, money-making kind of venture. I really want this to be nimble and quick to pivot and move when opportunities arise. And so I want to keep this as a free venture. Listener support is certainly much appreciated. I'll add a link in the show note if you would like to contribute a little bit of money to provide me some encouragement in doing this. That would be awesome, but certainly not required. And it does take money for me to pay the bills. So, you know, I'm not financially independent, so I'm not doing this out of the overflow of the abundance that I earned. Actually, money's a bit tight right now. But that's a sidetrack. What I wanted to do with this podcast was to create a space for conversations about social media beyond the 101 level. And this is something that Vince Murat has often mentioned in my conversations with him. He's the Internet Campus Pastor down at Gateway Church in Austin. And I had a conversation with him on a previous episode of Social Media Church. So you can scroll back. Actually, I'll add a link in the show note, give you the episode number and a link to my conversation with him way early. I think it was episode 3 or something like that. And most of the conversations and the resources available online are helping churches to get started with social media. And, well, most churches aren't using it actively. So granted, that's still a much needed thing. And actually, that's an idea I'm kicking around with, even as I'm talking out loud here, to produce some tutorials or things to help train people in their social media strategy and how to use it more effectively for ministry purposes. But to create a space where we can learn from each other and see where social media is being used creatively by churches. And so that's kind of what I was interested in, and I figured there'd be some other people that would be interested in this, and producing a podcast would be a way to kind of kickstart and create a place and a space for this kind of conversation to happen and provide a resources to serve the church at large. And then a conversation with Kenny Jiang out in Liquid Church in the New Jersey, New York City area. He sometimes pronounces his name Kenny Jiang. And he's a innovation pastor of media out there. And I think he, kind of like Inception style, planted the idea of, well, how about just having an interview format? And I shy away from the word interview. I prefer the word conversations, but it is basically an interview format that I've done most of these episodes, except for the ones where I have monologue, like this one where it's just me talking. But it's with the spirit of having a conversation and inviting feedback and building on ideas, building on ideas, leaders sharpening leaders with what they're doing. And so that became a pretty streamlined format for me to produce content that would be engaging and interesting to listen to from episode to episode. And for me, and also for you as listeners, just to get perspectives from different church leaders using social media in different ways. And one of my starter list was a list of internet campus churches, those churches that are providing live stream or simulated live worship experiences online. And there's over 100 of those now, and I figured if churches are providing online worship, they've got to be using social media in some creative way. So I wanted to hear what their story was, what their philosophy, what they're thinking, how are they measuring success. And that was what I wanted to capture on the Social Media Church podcast as we started last June. And to keep a podcast interesting, having a weekly rhythm seems to be the normal pace of content that you need to be generating and producing to engage with an audience. Any less than that, people begin to drop off. And any more than that takes tremendous effort to produce. Now, if you're a media company, you could do that. But for most of us, we're church leaders. This is more of a side project that can have value. But potentially, if it really grows, then you know you can add more resources and produce more content. Certainly. But just as a starting line to produce weekly content in a conversational format, to hear the stories and examples of how people are actually using social media for churches. And over the course of the previous 39 episodes, this is episode number 40, I've expanded my definition of church, not to just organized 501c3 kind of churches, but also people who are Christians who have a kind of leadership influence. So I've included some that are more from the organic and uninstitutional church, as well as some researchers and consultants that are working with churches in providing strategy or consulting and ideas for social media. So I think it's been a good ride. I've really enjoyed it and interacting with not only people that were part of this podcast, but also others who are listening and commenting on various channels like Facebook and Twitter, and on our website occasionally as well. So what else can I say? So that's the content part. The big question about launching a podcast is, what are you going to talk about? What kind of content will you produce for your audience? So from a strategic planning perspective, for those of you that have that kind of background, you have to answer who's your customer or who's your audience, and then what do they value, and then provide that. The other way to do it is, well, what are you passionate about, and how often can you produce compelling and interesting content for an audience? And when you think about audience size, podcast answer man Cliff Ravencroft is a long-term podcaster. I think he's logged in over 900 or even 9,000 episodes of podcasts in all the different podcasts that he's done. And he says, even if you have a podcast audience of just 50 people, think of it as having the undivided attention of 50 people every week listening to your ideas and your teachings. So on average, they say the American church is 75 on average in terms of weekly attendance. So if you're reaching 50 or 100 people on a weekly basis through a podcast, that can be valuable. If you've got something to say and people want to continue connecting with it, if you're able to produce it and provide it, I'd encourage you to do that. We need some quality content. It doesn't have to be, you know, A+ money-making kind of content, but just good content that has something unique to say and add some value instead of all the noise that may be out there on social media. That's my response to the opportunity that we have at on using social media, not to shy away from it because there's so much noise, but add some good quality value, particularly for those of us that are church leaders and influencers in the church. What have I learned? Well, let me talk about a couple of technical things in producing the Social Media Church podcast, and then I'll share with you some learnings and wrap up this episode that way. So in addition to deciding on what kind of a podcast I wanted to have, what format to use. You know, I think on my previous episode, I mentioned you can either produce a monologue or an interview, or you can do a variety show in terms of format for a podcast. And I'm just speaking of audio podcasts. I know podcasting also includes video, and that can just be a whole nother degree of difficulty and complexity in terms of how you produce that. But with the audio podcast, make sure you have a great microphone, a good microphone. I have never used the built-in microphone for any of my episodes, though I have used a variety of different technologies. So on a few occasions, I've used my earbud headset and made a recording of a phone call connected through Google Voice. And well, if you listen to some of the episodes, the one that comes to mind that was a Google Voice conversation was with Adam Jeske, as we talked about the Urbana 12 Pastoring Through Twitter episode. Again, I'll add a link in the show notes, and you can hear the audio quality on that one. It's not as great as this one would be. This one is being recorded through the Blue Yeti mic. And let's see. And then I've also used Skype video chat as well as just a Skype phone call to record some calls, especially, let's see, the one I did with Dr. Tim Hutchings was done over a Skype phone call because he was in England, and we wanted to get as much quality in terms of bandwidth over the internet connection, and so we did that over a Skype phone call recording. And then sometimes I will also record something on Google Plus Hangout just to try new technology, but also to see the versatility of recording both video and audio. And what I like to do when I have opportunity to record the video and audio is I'll provide the raw video recording online, post it on the YouTube channel for Social Media Church, so people that like the video version can watch the raw, unedited video version. And then for the audio version, which is actually ripped in, the audio is ripped in and stored into the podcast feed. That is post-produced with the bumper music on the front and the back end, known as the intro and outro. And I clean up the audio a bit more, kind of cut out the ums and the awkward transitions and other things that may glitch during a live recording. So the YouTube channel has the raw video, whether it's a Skype video chat or a Google Plus Hangout video chat. So just getting to run through the paces of all these different kinds of technology, I've realized that while we have a lot of options in terms of technology for video and audio, reliability is not there. So you will have technical glitches, and unless you have the budget and resources to really invest in high-end, super bandwidth kind of thing. I'm just using a cable internet connection. If you had a T1 or T3 and no one else on it, you can raise the quality of your internet connection. If you had a high-end HD camera, you can, you know, raise the quality of the video and microphones. There are certainly more expensive microphones than the one I'm using, but I want to demonstrate how you can do it with decent quality. So, you know, good, you know, B-plus kind of quality without investing a lot of finances. So that's what I was after here at Social Media Church, to show you that you can do it too. It doesn't take that much. And that's how I record the content. In terms of editing, I use something called GarageBand. I have a MacBook Pro here. My MacBook Pro dates back to 2009, so it's getting old, it's getting sluggish. I see the beach ball more often than I need to. But GarageBand has a pretty nice multi-track editing mode, and so I use that to edit my podcast and lay the track for my audio, which I record off the Blue Yeti mic, and then I'll rip the audio from my recording on Google Voice or Google Plus or Skype or even one episode with Justin Lathrop, I recorded on an iPad in a room. Actually used a built-in mic on that, so that's one exception where I use a built-in mic, and that turned out okay. So sometimes that works. Oh, so I use GarageBand to edit. You know, it's really nice. You get a visual editing, cut and paste the audio that you want or don't want, and then export it, and then upload it. I use Bluehost for website hosting, and currently my traffic is not too bad, so I actually upload the MP3 files to the website hosting, so I don't actually use a CDN. CDN stands for Content Distribution Network for hosting the audio files. So as your traffic increases, you'll want to consider a hosting that's specific for media files so they can handle the bandwidth, because that will add up pretty quickly when you have a lot of listeners. Mine is still manageable, I think. I haven't looked at all the technical details, but I think I'm doing okay. As of this recording, I've clocked in over 7,400 downloads of all our episodes so far. That's pretty cool. And on the free side, if you're not on a Mac, actually, if you're on a Mac or PC or Linux, there's a software called Audacity. Again, I'll add a link in the show notes if you would like to check that out as another alternative for editing audio. And that's become a pretty robust audio editor over time, useful for editing an audio podcast, for those of you thinking about that. And then in addition to the website, I'm using, Bluehost for the website hosting, where I host the audio files in MP3 format. I'm running WordPress, which is an open source content management system that has become very robust over recent years. It started out as a blog engine. Now it's running websites. It's actually running 17% of the internet, if you can believe that. That's how popular it is, and it's well-supported in that sense. And I use one of the free themes for WordPress design. And then I use a plugin called PowerPress, produced by Blueberry, to create an RSS feed. RSS stands for Really Simple Syndication, as well as an iTunes feed. And what's been amazing from the stats that are being tracked through PowerPress is that a large percentage of our listeners here are listening through iTunes, and there's also a large percentage that's listening through RSS. And so RSS allows people that are using Android and other audio players to also subscribe to this podcast. So you want to make sure when you produce a podcast that you provide the iTunes feed as well as the RSS feed. And this combination of WordPress and PowerPress makes it so much easier to create that. And then social channels. I like to connect with people on Twitter and Facebook. And since this is a podcast about social media, I certainly want to be there for people that are on Google Plus as well as on YouTube. And I'm also using Pinterest and Instagram. I haven't jumped on yet because this is an audio podcast. And so don't have as many images to share on Instagram. But I try to find some infographics to put on our Pinterest channel just to keep the visual part of engagement conversations here going. And then the last thing I want to mention on the tech side that I use is Google Voice. I have a Google Voice number that's set up here for the Social Media Church. The number is 9493-543216. And that allows you, the listener, to call in with your comments and feedback, your questions and stories, and then I can incorporate that into a future episode of Social Media Church. And what's nice is Google Voice is currently free. You get a standalone phone number without having to punch in an extension number. And when people leave a voicemail, they can actually you can actually download the MP3 audio. Now, again, the quality is not going to be great. It's going to be sounding like a phone call, but the idea is it makes something possible. So I use Google Voice for our call-in line. And, of course, I have an email inbox set up in case people want to email their comments. But since this is a social media church podcast, most people are using social media and not so much email. Okay, so that's kind of a quick tour of the technologies that I'm using to produce this podcast. I've already mentioned to you the thinking of what I want to produce in terms of content. I've mentioned a number of technologies that I've used in terms of recording Google Plus and Skype Video, Google Voice, in person, using iPad. On a few occasions, I've used my Android smartphone, which is a HTC Inspire. So that's a couple years old. I'm using old technology, even though I'm doing this leading edge idea. So I definitely run a tight budget here. And in the show notes, I'm going to add a link where you can browse previous episodes of Social Media Church by the avatars of the guests. So that's going to be socialmediachurch.net/guests, and that will allow you to browse previous episodes of the Social Media Church podcast episodes by avatars of the guests. I think that's a cool feature. When you go to that page, click on the button that says condensed, and then you'll get one of those, all the images of the avatars of people who have been guests on the Social Media Church. And if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, ping me on Twitter or Facebook or email. Let me know who you are and what story you'd like to share, and we can schedule a time for us to talk and record a conversation. Again, this is an open conversation. I really believe in the power of crowdsourcing, and your participation really makes this a valuable place for conversations with church leaders about social media. Wrap up with a quick statistical note and then a couple learnings. The top five episodes so far in terms of number of downloads here at Social Media Church, top download is my conversation with Justin Lathrop, the one I recorded using an iPad. So he must have a lot of fans. Second is Terrace Crawford, my conversation with him, the author of Ghost Social, the book. Third, my conversation with Nathan Castleberry, the internet campus pastor at Potential Church in Cooper City, Florida. Number four, Scott Asai, the author of Startup Church. And number five was an episode that I recorded about the value of social media. So those are the top five downloads so far. And let me wrap up with a few lessons learned. Well, having tried all these technologies, as I briefly mentioned a minute ago, reliability is not quite there. So as much as we have technological options, and I love having all these options and having been overseas just recently, we've got the best there is in the world in some ways. I hear Korea has even a higher rate of adoption when it comes to internet, but not sure how reliable things are there. But we've got a good thing, but it's not totally reliable. So think of a backup plan, or do what you need to do when things don't work. Don't get too frustrated, because it's just a matter of time when things will fail for you, and things have failed for me in 40 episodes once in a while. So that's just part of the mix. And if you're able to have a studio setup of some kind where things can stay stationary, that would be a huge plus. Now, I'm running mobile most of the time. I have to plug in and unplug every episode when I'm doing my Social Media Church podcast. And that's just, you know, kind of my lifestyle and what I have to work with. I don't have a desktop with a studio acoustic setting and all that jazz. So I have to make do with what I have, or I want to do with what I have. And so a lesson learned there is, if you can have a studio setup just a permanent space with equipment that's stationary, doesn't get plugged and unplugged. That will help a couple things. That will help your quality to be maintained, longevity of your equipment, and also setup time. Streamline your workflow because everything is there, ready to go. You don't have to reset up every episode. So, and then thirdly, third lesson learned was just how, even over the past 9 months, the wide span of how people are using social media. So initially I mentioned that I was looking to just hear how internet campuses were using social media. But even every person I've talked with is approaching social media in a different way, somewhat small different ways and some in big different ways. And so there isn't only one way to use social media. There's many ways to use social media. And you want to find your own rhythm. You want to find your own voice. And you find that by using it, by practicing it, and by staying tuned here at the Social Media Church and listening to others. And you can pick and choose and adapt and mash up from other examples of how others are using social media. And that's what's amazing about this. As new technologies roll around, we want to share with you in the near future of new technologies that are being incorporated by church leaders when it comes to using social media. And if there's a church out there in the Orange County area, I'll go out on a limb, that wants to explore the frontiers of using social media for your church, I would love to start a conversation with you. I'm available to work with you, whether as a consultant or maybe even part-time staff. Unless I ask, things may not happen, so I'll go ahead and be bold. Make that ask. If you're in the Orange County area, I would love to connect with you and accelerate your use of social media in your church. Okay? That's my thoughts about the backstory and the making of the Social Media Church podcast. Thank you for tuning in again. I've enjoyed connecting with you over these podcasts and with you in person when I have opportunities to do that. I'll add a link in the show notes with my itinerary of when I travel to different places. And so sometimes at a conference or during my travels, would love to meet with you in person as well. This is the Social Media Church podcast, and my name is DJ Chuang. Thank you again for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or RSS using whatever podcatcher software you're using. And until next week, we'll stay connected online.